What is going on, my real estate investing friends? I wanted to jump in here and tell you thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I seriously hope that it brings you an insane amount of value in order for you to be able to crush it in your marketing for your active real estate investing business. This show is specifically here to educate real estate investors on amping up their marketing. So more than likely, if you're listening to this show, you are either already an active investor or you're wanting to jump in, you're doing a little bit of educating for yourself. So if you're either of those and you enjoy this show, you're gonna wanna subscribe to the REI Marketing Weekly Email Newsletter. Yes, I know that's a mouthful, but it is totally worth it because that's where this show kind of derived from. And in that newsletter, it's 100% value content and it's got four segments in each newsletter that goes out every single Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time about crushing it in your real estate investing business marketing. We have segments where I myself give a marketing tip. We have a segment for a marketing update or a how-to. So if there's something that's new on like Facebook or a new algorithm for Google or something like that, we talk about that, or there's a new platform that comes out. We also do a lot of how-tos. And then we have a segment specifically for somebody that is in an active real estate investing business, crushing it in some form of their marketing efforts. And that's where this show comes in. So we're literally stripping the audio from that interview and putting it into this show. So there's that segment on the email newsletter. And then there's a segment specifically for a tool or a resource that you're able to use in your marketing. So in order to get to this, go to colormedia.com/subscribe, colored spelled C-U-L-L-E-R. So colormedia.com/subscribe. Make sure that you do that. Do not miss out on it because it's a great newsletter, 100% value. There's no selling in there. And you guys are going to learn so much from that. It's just an extension of this podcast and for you guys to be able to go deeper into your marketing and get all these little tips here and there that are going to help you stand out in your market. So again, thank you so much for listening to this show. Make sure that you share it around with your friends. I seriously appreciate it. If you do, leave a review if you're able to, and then I hope you enjoy. Let's get started with today's Who's Crushing It segment. Let's go. Welcome back to the REI Marketing Weekly. It's your host, Josh Culler with Culler Media and REI.video. And today I've got an exciting guest on the show for you guys. I'm very, very excited about the topic that we're going to be talking about. Because I've done a lot of research and study on our new guest who I just met when we jumped on the Zoom call here, but I know several people that have had him on their shows and many people that know Mike as well. So I'm excited to have Mike Simmons on the show. Mike, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not too much. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And I'm excited about this conversation too.
Absolutely. Where are you coming from today?
I'm in Michigan, actually.
Detroit, Michigan, right?
Troy is where I live. It's about a half an hour north of Detroit, just to give context.
Got it. Okay. So you're all the way over there. So that's good. I love Detroit, actually. It's been like doing some, there's a lot of good things going down in Detroit lately.
They've been threatening to revitalize for my entire adult life, but they are actually doing it now. There's definitely some places that are coming back and really kind of cool.
Yeah. Dan Gilbert's been pouring a lot of money into it. I had to go, to downtown Detroit last year, do some videos for a client that's a big turnkey provider over there. And going through downtown Detroit. And that was my first time really going through downtown Detroit.
Yeah.
Other than like hearing about stuff like, you know, 8 Mile and stuff like that. Yeah, like that's what I picture Detroit as. Yeah, so
you meet Eminem pretty much when you got there.
Yeah. Exactly. Like we're driving on the interstate and I see 8 Mile, the exit, and I'm like, oh yeah. You know, so anyway, guys, I'm excited to have Mike on the show here. We're going to be talking about messaging and how you don't have to perfect your message. And I actually very intrigued with this because I'm the type of guy, you guys know, I talk about this all the time. Things are like, don't ever shoot for perfection, especially when it comes to marketing, because it's just not going to happen. You know, just get started, just do it. And then you adjust things from there once you actually get started. So we're going to be talking about that. Anything from direct mail all the way through your websites and you know, the messaging that you put out on, even if you're doing a radio ad or whatever, this is going to apply. So I'm excited to talk about this. But before we get into it, if you haven't already, make sure you have subscribed to the REI Marketing Weekly. We do have a newsletter. So if you go to REIMarketingWeekly.com, we have a weekly newsletter that goes out and you're going to be able to get a lot more in-depth context. We send you the show notes for the show. And then I give a tip of the week and then we have a resource for the week that you guys are going to be able to dive into to hone in on your marketing a lot better. So make sure you do that. And then we do have a book that's coming out. I'm super pumped about this, the REI Marketing book. That's going to be having the first 50 episodes that we've had on the show transcribed compact into a book itself. So more information to come. So make sure you be on the lookout for that. Make sure you're following me on all the social networks, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, in order to get that info. So keep an eye on that. And then if you haven't already, make sure you have tried out rei.video. Got a lot of good things going down there. So you film your own video content, whether that's with your cell phone, a camera, or Zoom, whatever, however you want to film that video. Whether it's testimonial videos, I've had a lot of those sent over. Testimonial videos, videos for your website, Facebook, ad videos, anything you want, send it on over, the raw footage. We'll get that edited and produced for you, do the heavy lifting, send it back to you in less than 48 hours, and you get unlimited revisions. So it's a win-win for everybody. Make sure that you use coupon code FIRSTVID at checkout for 50% off of your first video project. I'm excited to get that rolling and got a lot of good feedback on that. I mean, just like everybody's happy because you get exactly what you're looking for because you get unlimited revisions. So why not give it a shot? So once again, rei.video, go check it out. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into the show for today. Mike Simmons, I'm excited to have you chatting today. I want you to do me a favor and introduce yourself for the people that don't know who you are. I know you've got a podcast, coaching program, and a couple other things that you got going in the works. You got a book that I want you to talk about. So introduce yourself, the origin story of Mike Simmons, and then talk a little bit about what you got going on.
Definitely. Thank you for that, by the way. So my name is Mike Simmons, born and raised in Michigan. So I'm a Midwest guy. What I like about my story and what I think is interesting is that it's not that remarkable, right? I grew up blue collar, automotive, like working parents, kind of real, just like hardworking, 40-hour week, you know, kind of a thing, meat and potatoes. But nobody in my life was entrepreneurial. Nobody in my life was encouraging me to strike out on my own and do anything business-wise. The goal for me, as far as my parents were concerned, was to get into a union job, work all the hours that they'll give you, put as much money in your 401k as you can, and retire at 65 and you know, basically die at 70 or 75. So that's pretty much, the dying part wasn't part of their plan, but like the goal of the career path was, that was their plan. And so
I think that's the nutshell of every Midwestern family.
Totally. Yeah. Because
I'm in the Midwest, right outside Chicago. So it's the same thing.
Exactly. Nobody's encouraging you to be an entrepreneur. Matter of fact, my dad was a Marine. He worked at Ford. He was a tool and die guy. Like, you know, grease on his fingers when he came home. Like, he wanted me to work hard, honestly. That was his goal. The harder I worked, the happier he was, to be honest. If I told him that I was taking extra hours at work, working overtime, working the weekend, you couldn't see a more happy person. So that was the goal for me. And I executed on that goal. Went to high school, obviously got my degree. I didn't go to college right away because the worst thing that happened to me right out of high school. I got a job working for UPS, union job, right? Teamsters, strong union, good pay. Like, I was like, I'm done. Why do I need college? I have the union job that I'm supposed to have and the high pay and all this. And I was 18 when I got that job. By the time I was 24, I couldn't get out of bed without a chiropractor appointment. Mm. 3 times a week, I was going to the chiropractor to get out of bed. My back was wrecked. Wow. And so I'm like, okay, I can't do this. So I've got to go into something else. So I went into the automotive industry. Started working, realized I'm just a cog in a big engine here. I have zero value over the guy next to me. So I need to go to college. I should have gotten my degree. Go back to college, get my degree, bump up my pay goes up. I'm kind of in that white collar track. I'm trending. I'm getting promotions. I'm getting raises. Everything's great, but I wasn't happy. I hated it. I didn't like it. And worse, the jobs that I was aspiring to get, the people that were in them at the time were miserable, hated their wife, hated their husband, hated their kids, hated their life, hated their job. They were married to the place. They were miserable, right? So I'm like, I don't want to retire from here because I'm only in my early 30s. I hate what I do. And those people hate what I'm trying to get to be able to do. Like, this is awful. So I started looking at how do I invest? How do I invest my money? How do I reinvest so I can retire early? Stocks, day trading, that was kind of the world that I started to gravitate toward. Hated it, right? Hated that too. Wasn't happy doing that. But I stumbled upon real estate while I was looking for how do you invest money? How do I invest for retirement? Eventually, you'll hit a Google search. You'll find real estate. And I did. And I started reading success stories like a lot of us do when we start off. And I was blown away at what these people were able to do. And it was intriguing. And I sort of went down that path. Then, full transparency, I was gung-ho. I want to do this. I'm going to seminars. I'm buying books. I'm going to meetups. And I'm revved up. That was in 2003. I didn't buy my first house until 2008, right? Paralysis analysis. Good time to buy a house. Yeah, it was a great time to buy a house. I got lucky that I had this analysis paralysis because I could have gotten in trouble. But the fact of the matter is I had too much information coming at me. I didn't know what to do with it. I started off thinking I'm educating myself and being responsible. And at the end of that 5 years, I had to admit it was fear and just paralysis and all these negative things and all these fears and what ifs if this goes wrong. All those things were stopping me until I finally did it. Now, you're right. As it turns out, like some guardian angel was looking over me, because starting in 2008 was a great time to start, right? When everyone was screaming, get out of real estate, like that's when investors flood in. That's when you should flood in, because it's really a lot easier to do. So I got lucky that way, but it took me 5 years to get off the sidelines and actually get started because I let fear grip me.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was probably trying to be a perfectionist as well, you know, trying
totally.
To learn everything
I don't know
you
enough.
Need to learn. Yeah, yep. For sure.
Don't know enough. And then, you know, when you go to meetups and seminars and things, everybody who gets on stage or gets in front of the crowd, they have a way to do it that they swear is the best thing that you can pot. And then you get confused when you're new and you don't know what you're doing. And so it was kind of a mess. And that's the fastest backstory I've ever given in my entire life, by the way.
If you guys want the full unpacked version of it, you're going to have to go listen to his podcast, his book, and just get on a call with him. So, that's great. So I don't ever want to compress your story, but
I talk fast sometimes, but you did ask me too, what I have going on now, right?
That's right.
So you did mention the podcast. So I would encourage people, if you enjoy this podcast, we talk about real estate. It's not strictly marketing, and it's different than this, but hopefully you would enjoy it. You can hop over to Just Start Real Estate, that you can find on iTunes anywhere you go and listen to podcasts. I'm also one of the owners of one of the largest masterminds for real estate in the country called Seven Figure Flipping. We have an event once a year. I'll be speaking at it. It's normally in person, but this one's going virtual for obvious reasons. If you go to bestrealestateevent.com, you can find out about it, buy tickets. That's super inexpensive because it's virtual, but it's a great event, and I'm going to be there speaking, a lot of networking, so you should check that out. Yeah. Finally, my book. I wrote a book. You're writing a book. That's awesome. It's exciting. It's not easy, I know. I wrote a book. It's called Level Jumping, and it's a story of how I scaled my business, right? People ask, how do you go to the next level? And I always tell people, it's possible to not just go to the next level, but go to the next level, to level jump. And in a nutshell, I talk about what I did, and it's different than growing your business. Growing your business as a solopreneur or a one-man band, you can get to a point, right? You hit a bandwidth, and then to get beyond that, you need to bring people on your team. You need to start doing certain things. And I outlined that in my book, how I grew my real estate business from a couple deals a month to 10, 15, and over 20 in some months. How did I do that? What mechanisms did I put in place? I cover all that in the book.
Yeah, absolutely. So guys, everything that I mentioned is going to be linked in the description below. We have had Bill Allen on the show too. So you guys make sure you go back and listen to that, because he's a big part of Seven Figure Flipping as well. So make sure you check that out. But everything's going to be linked in the description below that we got going on. I'll have him recap that at the end here as well. So let's go ahead and jump into the episode here. I want to get deep dived into this topic. We got about 10 to 15 minutes that we're going to go deep into this topic of messaging. So you kind of gave me a little bit of a rundown. I'm going to let you take the bull by the horns and go after it. So let us know, why do people, first of all, why is it just our tendency to go for perfection, especially when it comes to marketing? That's a big no-no. And then how do we combat that and battle that? And why do we need to battle that?
Yeah. What I have decided over the last few years is people who are perfectionists, a lot of it's fear driven. A lot of it is if they can say it's not perfect yet, that's easier than saying, I'm afraid to publish. I'm afraid to push it out. I'm afraid to hit send, whatever it is. I'm afraid to do it. I think it's a lot of it's fear based. It was for me. And I think when it comes to marketing and for me in my business, the workhorse in terms of marketing channels, traditionally has been direct mail. Right? It's crazy that it still works, but it does. Mm-hmm. So I think some of those things are shifting a little bit, especially with the pandemic. We saw a dip in our direct mail response, but still direct mail has always been a tried and true, reliable workhorse for me. And I've done a lot of split testing. Last year we were sending out on average 60,000 mail pieces a month. That's just direct mail. That's just one of our channels, but we do a lot of it. So what I have found is, in my quest to find the perfect message, to craft the perfect message on a postcard, what I realized was there really isn't a perfect message. In fact, when you go online and you're best postcard message or best copy or what postcard converts the best, you'll find no shortage of people who will sell you a course or something about the perfect message. And in my opinion, the response rate is not what you, that's not the metric. The response rate is not the metric because of, I always tell people, Josh, if I sent you a postcard, I don't know if you're married with kids or not, but
married, say no kids.
Married, no kids. Let's say, okay, you're married, no kids. If I sent you a postcard and said, I've been watching your wife's pattern, her life patterns. I know where she is most of the time. I'm planning on abducting her. Give me a call, right? You'd call. You'd for sure call. So it's not the response that you're looking for. Yeah. It's the qualified response,
good
right?
Point. So I, there's a difference between like an actual prospect and a lead.
Yeah. Or there, in my world, we call them calls and leads, right?
Yeah.
If the phone rings, it's a call, right? The phone can ring with, and we all know this, if you send out direct mail, the phone will ring with people saying, why are you sending me this? I don't want to sell my house. How dare you? Whatever. You know,
take just me off your list. Yeah.
Take me off your list. Whatever. Right. That's a call. I don't want calls. I want leads. So like, for example, I'll give you a, for example, we used to get tons of people on our direct mail, a good percentage of people. Their only question when they would call is, how did you get my information? Like, yeah. How do you know who I am and how do you know about my house? And so we would tell people, we pull this from public records. It's available to everybody. We didn't specifically target you. So we started putting a little thing on our postcard that says, we obtained your information from public records that's available to the general public. It cut our calls down by a good 25%, right? Most people panic. Oh my gosh, phone isn't ringing. What am I doing?
That's just filtering out.
It's filtering, man. Yeah. I want the phone to ring less with better leads, yeah. Ideally, right? That's because I pay people to answer the phone. I don't want them answering junk calls all day long. I want them, because if they're not answering calls, I have them doing other things, right? We're skip tracing or we're doing follow-up. Like I would rather have them do that than just answering a bunch of junk calls where 90% of them are garbage. I'd rather get that percentage a little higher of good calls. And really, when it comes to the messaging on your card, I firmly believe, and this is not like an optimistic viewpoint, but I think it's realistic. There are no perfect messages. There's definitely ways you could screw up your message, but the perfect message, that white whale message that will convert, high conversion, this is always going to work, silver bullet. I think it's kind of a fallacy, right? Yeah. But if you, like for postcards, I send a lot of postcards. For postcards, if I cram that postcard with small text in a fancy font, and it's just crammed with a bunch of things that's confusing, it's not going to convert. I don't care. Even if they want to sell their house, it probably won't convert because most people open their mail over the garbage or near the garbage. Yeah. You got about a second and a half, maybe 2 seconds, and they're tossing it. And frankly, my audience for the real estate that I do, if I just look back at my numbers over the last 5 years, most of the people I buy houses from are over the age of 50. A lot of them are over the age of 60. So they can't see small fonts. They can't read fancy fonts. Larger fonts, simple fonts, white space or open space on your postcard is okay. It's okay, right? The call to action, who you are, what you want, and your call to action needs to be very clear and very apparent even at a glance. And if they still throw it away, you aren't going to get them with a fancy message or some well-crafted copy that you aren't going to get them. They're not selling their house, okay? So if they're not selling their house, no matter what you give them, but we all know life happens, right? People get divorced. They have death in the family. They have loss of job. All these things that make them need to sell their house, and a lot of times at a discount, then that means we have to catch them when those things happen. Because if you send me a postcard today and it has your picture on it and it has you and your wife and I really connect with you guys and I like you and I'm like, geez, I'd love to sell these guys. They're awesome. If I'm not selling my house, I'm not calling you. Yeah. Consequently, if you send me a card, a white card with black letters that says, I buy houses for cash, close fast, and I just lost my job and my wife said I'm a loser, I'm going to leave you, I'm calling. I don't care if your card was subpar. It's the time. It's timing for me. I need to call you now because I need to sell my house. So if you believe all that, then it's more about consistency and frequency than it is the perfect message. So if you're waiting to craft that perfect message and you find it, which it doesn't exist, but if you think you found it and you send that letter out and it was the wrong time, all wasted, right?
Yeah.
Consistency and frequency. Get in front of me when it's time.
Yeah. And I think there's a couple things that I want to unpack here. First of all, like Mike obviously knows his target demographic extremely well. He said it himself, like most people that are selling their houses are above the age of 50. So knowing the fact that if you put small font on your card, that just stuff like that will take you to the next level in your marketing. These are things that you have to think about. And I think a lot of people, you know, they value marketing. They know they need to have marketing in their business, but they don't think about it in that depth. But that's just something that's so simple to just you know, really strategize a little bit more. Just make your fonts bigger, bolder, something that's easier for somebody to read. And here's the thing is that Mike didn't do that, I assume, right off the bat. This is something that took you time to realize, to test. And so like, even though you may have found like a nirvana with the messaging that you have on your direct mail, it's still going to evolve over time, because those 50-year-olds are going to turn 60. The 40-year-olds are going to turn 50 in 10 years, right? So like, you're going to have to adjust your marketing, and different, you know, age groups are going to respond to, and even that, different generations respond to different types of messaging. So it's still never going to be perfect. So getting out of that mind frame is like, it's key, and it's key in marketing, because I know a lot of people that, like, say, for instance, you're talking about direct mail a lot. I know a lot of people that have run Facebook ads for, you know, for acquisitions purposes. And they say, like, it doesn't convert well. It doesn't bring in enough leads. And when I look at it, I'm like, well, your messaging, you're trying to get it perfect. You have like this well-scripted thing, and it's just, it doesn't apply to the target demographic you're going after. Because the target demographic that might be looking at the direct mail may not be the target demographic that you're trying to target on Facebook. Right. So, so for you, when it comes down to it, how are you making sure that you're keeping a pulse on that message in order to evolve it and critique it for every platform that you're marketing on, depending whether it's direct mail or whether it's a radio ad or Facebook ads? How are you like keeping a pulse on that?
It's a good question. And it kind of dips into a lot of what I cover in my book too. So when you're trying to improve, grow, scale, whatever it is, your marketing, or get better at it, You can only do that if you're tracking your numbers. I'm a huge, huge fan. Like, a lot of people throw out a marketing piece or whatever, and it's like, hey, the phone rang, it works, and I'm just going to randomly change it next month. Like, they don't even know if it worked or didn't work. So we track how much money are we spending on marketing each channel, right? How much money are we spending? How many calls does that generate? How many leads does that generate? Right? We just talked about the difference, calls and leads. How many appointments do those leads generate? How many calls or how many leads per appointment? How many appointments per contract am I getting? And then what's my average contract? And then you can sort of kind of reverse engineer all that and see, okay, this marketing channel, this postcard, that postcard, this letter, whatever it is, you can line them up side by side if you're tracking the same metrics and say, okay, so this postcard generated 200 calls, this many leads that ultimately, by the way, I care about contracts, right? So I don't get too caught up in the top of the funnel. I want a lot of people coming in the top of the funnel. I care about contracts. So it all goes down to that. But I can track per marketing channel, right? Which one's working for me, which one's generating the calls, the leads, the contracts, the appointments, and so forth. So you can't do it without tracking your numbers. I can't stress that enough. I've seen people running million-dollar businesses, and I'll go, how's your marketing working? What's your response rate? Whatever it is, whatever. And they're like, I don't know. I mean, I got $10,000 last month in my account. Like, well, where did it come from? Which marketing channel? I don't know. The phone was ringing, you know, like it rang on my cell phone. Like, wait, you're still using your cell phone to get, like, there's software that can track this for you and help you with the metrics a little bit. And people, it's amazing how many people do things with spreadsheets and cell phones. Now, it's fine in the beginning, and I'm all about action going out there.
Yeah.
But if you really want to track and understand what's working and make distinctions and get better and split test, you have to have more metrics, and that you just do, you know, and people try to do without it.
Yeah. I think this is a good idea. So like, something that I was thinking about too, while you're speaking is, you know, we were talking about like direct mail and then tracking your numbers, but something along the lines, that's not really a tangible number that you can track, guys. This is just a little nugget that I've seen a couple people do. It works extremely well when you're, you know, talking to your leads or whatever. You know, obviously, you know, you should know where that lead came from. So if you send a direct mail campaign, they called off that postcard, then you automatically know that that lead came from that postcard. Yep. An additional question I would ask them is, how else do you consume marketing, right? So do you spend a lot of time on Facebook? Do you spend a lot of time watching live TV so you can get ads? Do you listen to the radio? Do you like look at billboards when you're driving by them? Like, ask them how else you can, like, basically what you're asking them is, how else can I market to you and your target demographic? Yeah. And then what you can do is, that is a good way to actually start. What Mike was talking about is actually start split testing. So I do this with my target demographic. I actually ask them, where do you consume a lot of, for me, I ask them, where do you consume a lot of your content? Cause that's my target demographic. And so then I get those answers and I split test between those platforms, whether it's a physical platform or a digital platform. Yep. So this is a really good way to actually do that. And then make sure, this is where it's like super key to make sure you're tracking your numbers. And the way Mike mentioned it was, He didn't allude to it at first, but then he came back and said it. It's a funnel, right? So you got this upside down pyramid and people drop into that funnel somewhere. So normally it's probably going to be that call is that first phase of the funnel, I assume. Then the next one is going to be that lead. Yeah. And then you're moving them through the funnel, ending up with a contract is what you said you're going after, which is the right thing to do. So look at it as a funnel. Don't complicate it. Just make sure you're tracking each phase of that funnel. So if you just imagine like a layer of a funnel and that's, you know, map that out exactly the way Mike said, track those numbers and it's easy to do that. And then you can compare each of your marketing channels in order to figure out what actually works. And again, Mike, I assume you keep your pulse on this on a consistent basis. So how often are you tracking these numbers?
Yeah, it's a good question. We track them weekly, but I will say you can't do much in my opinion, from a marketing standpoint on a weekly basis. It's not enough data points, right? Mm-hmm. We track it fairly closely on a monthly, but on a quarterly basis is when we start making adjustments.
You dive deep into it.
Yep. The worst thing you can do, in my opinion, marketing, and I've had people in my own market, people, friends of mine that are house flippers and wholesalers, and they'll say they can't get leads. And I'll go, well, have you tried direct mail? And they'll go, well, yeah, I did. Doesn't work. And I said, well, tell me what you did. Well, I sent out a postcard and I didn't get any calls the first week. And I said, okay, what'd you do the second week? Said, no, nothing. It didn't work. And I was like, seriously, that's your staying power? Like 1 week? Like I really do think it takes at least a quarter to really seriously evaluate marketing. Yeah. And if you want to evaluate it at a real thorough level, maybe 4 to 6 months. But within a quarter, you can make adjustments or do what you have to do. But every quarter is a real deep analysis of my marketing and what it looks like.
Good. Very good. So I appreciate that. I think that's what I do with my marketing is every quarter is when I am evaluating what actually is working and really running over those numbers. But I agree. Track your numbers on a weekly basis, but then evaluate them, do deep dives
quarterly. We track them on a weekly basis because it becomes an overwhelming project if you wait for a whole quarter to track things and people won't do it because it's too much of a project. So you do
it
weekly.
You can see where it trends up, right? So like, you know, 52 weeks a year. So you got, you know, that amount of weeks to be able to see like, okay, well it, you know, direct mail went up in May, but then it went back down in July and then it went back up in September. And, you know, so you can track that over the course of a year. So I think doing it quarterly is enough time, more than enough weeks for you to be able, you know, 12 weeks to be able to dive deep into, you know, your numbers and analytics and track that stuff. And I would even say track everything. So whatever marketing channel you're doing, if you're doing Facebook ads, if you're doing mail campaigns, cold call, texting, like track every single campaign. Totally. I know it can sound a little overwhelming, but it's simple data entry. So like who do you have? Do you have a marketing person that actually tracks those numbers for you? Do you track them? Or how do you do that?
I've got a marketing person that tracks them for me.
And you keep everything on a spreadsheet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. So guys, don't complicate it. Like just make it simple, easily, you know, like all you're doing is tracking that. So
that's a really good point though. I know a lot of people who've got tripped up because they try to over automate the gathering of the data and they have a hard time getting all that data into one place and they just get frustrated and forget it. Like, and all the time you tried to do that, just like put it in the spreadsheet yourself. And there's software that can help you curate, but don't overcomplicate it. Like you said, put it in a spreadsheet and track it.
For sure. Mike, we're going to have to wrap this up, man. I appreciate the entire show that you've done here. I mean, you've laid some massive nuggets here. I'm definitely going to have you back again soon because we got to talk about more marketing stuff, but we're going to have to wrap it up. I told you 15, 20 minutes and we're at that time mark. So we went deep into the messaging and then I'm glad we actually went into analytics because I think that's an extremely important topic to cover when you're talking about messaging too. So thank you so much for everything you've shared. I do want to give one more opportunity for you to be able to lay some stuff on our audience. So MikeSimmons.com, is that the best way to get in contact with you? How else can somebody learn more about getting in contact with you and what you got going on?
Totally. Thank you. MikeSimmons.com. Just Start Real Estate is the podcast. The event is Flip Hacking Live. You can go to bestrealestateevent.com and you can check that out. Buy your tickets on October 15th through the 17th are the dates. And then of course my book Level Jumping, you can check that out, buy it on Amazon and check that out if you want to scale your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, again, we're going to have all of that linked in the description below. So make sure you go check all of that out. Connect with Mike. Great guy. So I appreciate you spending your time here and giving us all these nuggets, just some invaluable information, in-depth look of what you've got going on in your business personally. So thank you so much for being on and we look forward to having you back again soon, man.
Awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining in and listening. Again, if you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you do. Go check out rei.video where you can film your own video content. and then you can track it later once we get it back to you. But you film your own video content, send it over for us to do the heavy lifting for you, the editing, the producing. We'll get it back to you in 48 hours, unlimited revision, so you get exactly what you're looking for. Make sure you try that first vid at checkout for the coupon code, 50% off your first video. So make sure you go check it out. Thank you guys for listening in today, and we'll catch you on the next one. See you later.